Yes, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed a dream that I could live free in my own country. Welcome to the Republic Roundtable. This is August the 2nd, 2012. I'm the host and moderator, Robert Zuluaga. Our program is produced by Janine Stewart. Welcome, brothers and sisters. It is we're moving right along into the year of 2012. We're in the second quarter, the third quarter. No, let's say third quarter. We're in the third quarter, and we've got a lot of changes, a lot of development, a lot of growth. We're learning how to fly, and so this evening we've got a review of what's going on in media, what we're doing to grow the media and develop a consistent message. We're looking at what's happening in the halls of Congress. We're looking at how accurately this reflects you and I, how accurately the process is unfolding to re-inhabit our country and it to be the voice of the people and not the voice of the dictates of a powerful few. So as we get started this evening, I see a friend of mine who I have not seen on the call in a long time. And if she is available, I would certainly welcome Sharon Carr to open us in a word of prayer. So, Sharon, I'm going to put you under the bus. Hopefully you're not in the middle of work. Good evening.
Hi, Robert.
Are you willing and able to lead us out in a word of prayer?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Father God, we just come to you tonight with our hearts humbled at what you're doing in our republic, in our country, and across the world. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for your great favor on us. We pray, Lord, that we will trust you and obey you and listen to your still small voice and move when you say move and do your will and your will only, Lord. Lord, just be with everyone on this call. I pray, Lord, that you will bless it and that everything that is said and done is uplifting, encouraging, and done in a way that would be Christ-like. And I just pray, Lord, for your information to get out and the information of the Republic, Lord, that we can take it and we can go with it and continue to build your Republic in our great country. And, Lord, I just thank you for everything. Thank you for dying for us. And thank you for everything that you do for us each and every day that we take for granted. In Jesus Christ's precious holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
You know, brothers and sisters, I have something on my heart this week. I had the opportunity to take a little downtime, spend some time sitting at the beach with my wife, catching up on some reading and just kind of reflecting on things. And something I want to start with this evening is self-assessment. You know, we can believe we're doing really, really good. We can believe we're really hitting the mark. And, you know, we look at our own skill set and we can think that we're doing better than we actually are. I was listening to a tape by a motivational speaker, Orrin Woodward, and he said that a lot of statistics have been done to actually quantify people and their performance and how good they think they're doing. And en masse, the majority of us think we're doing better than we really are. And there is a few who are self-deprecating enough or humble enough that have really high skill sets and actually admit to a lower form of performance than they actually have. So for all of you listening, I don't know where you are on the spectrum, but I just want to focus in on where we are in the Republic. Measuring performance, you know, we have the Olympic Games going on now, and if you've watched any of them, if you've watched the swimmers, if you watch how small the margin of gap is between the person who walks away with a gold medal and the one who comes with a silver or the bronze, even the person that comes in fourth or fifth place, the seconds or the milliseconds are just so fractional. And I was watching one of the swimming races last night, And I was astounded by how it was 1/100th of a second between the gold medal winner and second place. That's a really small difference. So as we look at the measure, we're going for the gold. We're going for the prize. We're going for re-inhabiting the republic for the United States of America. We're looking at taking back, wrestling back our nation from those who have stolen it from us very quietly, very surreptitiously, very gradually over the last 140 years. Okay, what are we doing today? What are we doing in our states? What are we doing in our assemblies? What are we doing in the halls of Congress? What are we doing in the executive branch and in the judicial branch to really quantify and measure how well we're really doing? Now, on an overview picture from the 5,000-foot overview, we are doing great. In 2.5 years, we've gone from writing a letter to the 50 governors and saying, we're not happy with what you're doing. We want you to honor the Constitution, to actually setting in place the three branches of government in 40-plus states. So that's an absolutely amazing performance on one level. But on another level, let's look at the measuring of how we're going about doing what we're doing. You know, are we measuring success? There's like two or three different metrics that I'd look at. One is, how well are we doing following the precepts of biblical principles, the Declaration of Independence, the Organic Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights? How well are we doing conforming what we're doing to that? So that would be one metric. How well are we doing? And not just at on a national level, but how well are we doing that and implementing that in our state level? I have been a student and a fervent seeker of freedom my entire life. You know, I seem to have this radar or this rudder inside myself. Maybe you do too. Maybe you have a rudder that says, I know what it feels like to be free, and I know what it feels like when somebody's jerking my chain. I know what it feels like when somebody's messing with my head, or I know what it's like when somebody's messing with my freedoms. If you have that same rudder inside yourself, that same barometer, that same sixth sense, call it what you will, then I would challenge us to look at how's that barometer going in how we're engaging our efforts in the republic today. It's a self-assessment. How's it going? How's that barometer going? So that's one metrics. The other one is, okay, if we actually are doing what we intend to do, what are we doing each week, each day, then each week, each month, and then over the course of a year in our sphere of influence, whether you're on a state level, whether you're in an assembly, whether you're on a national, you have a national service, wherever you are, what's the growth that you're experiencing? Or what's the growth that your team is experiencing? Or what's the growth that you're being able to see and to say, yeah, we've in the last 2.5 years started from here, we've come to here, we've had these pitfalls, and where are we looking into the future here in the third quarter of 2012? So that's the broad brush. Then we have to narrow it down to say, okay, if we expect to be growing at a rate of, for 2012, we want to see a turnaround, we want to see, pick a number, we want to see 10,000 a month increase in each state beginning 2013 or beginning next quarter. You pick a date. What's it going to take to do that? What's it going to take in terms of the performance of your team? What's it going to take in the terms of the performance of the network of folks you deal with? What's it going to take in terms of personal exposure to your friends, to your family, to people on the internet, people on Skype, people on Facebook, people on Twitter? Your sphere of influence, what's it going to take to get the growth rate that takes us past the point of playing at re-inhabiting the republic and seriously engaging every part of our being and every part of our fiber in the process of re-inhabiting this republic? I don't want to spread the brush too broadly, but there's some more statistics on how that works. And there's a principle. 20% of the folks do 80% of the work. So my question to each one of you listening, are you one of the 20% who's a heavy lifter in terms of the work that's needed to lay the foundation for this republic? Or are you part of the 80%? And it's okay, whichever you are, just as a self-assessment, are you a 20%er or are you an 80%er? So if you know that up front, that 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work, then you have, if you were looking at that metrics of what your team's doing for $10,000 a month into your state, well, if only 20% of the people on your team are going to actually perform that, that gives you some idea of a self-assessment of what your performance has to be. Or if you're one of the 80%, then you're going to know whether you want to change and become one of the 20%, or whether you're happy just to allow others to do that heavy lifting. Okay, so that's the groundwork, that's the challenge, that's the area that I feel in my heart that we need to look at honestly amongst ourselves in the Republic. And now it's a question of saying, okay, we have clearly put the grid into place. We have some real exciting things happening. We've got some exciting potential happening on multiple levels in this Republic. But what's our freedom meter? How's that going? Where we're at, are we laying out good systems in the executive branch? Are we laying out good systems in Congress? Are we laying out good systems in the judiciary? Are we laying out good systems in the voice of the people in our assemblies? And that's what I want to look at. Today I'm hoping we can look at that to get some real clear picture that we're all moving in the same direction, that we're moving in the same direction for the goal of releasing Americans to be free. And as we live it in our own lives and as we apply it in our office and in our station where we are in this republic, it will reflect whether we have that sense of trust in one another to live free. Those are my opening comments. They're impromptu. They just well out of my heart in terms of where we are. It has clearly grieved me to see good folks who've been laboring alongside of us for the last two and a half years, decide that something's not working for them. I'm not making a judgment whether it's a them or a us, if it's the system or whether it's the person. That's something between each person and the good Lord. My concern is that we take an honest self-assessment at every level that we are influencing and influencing this republic, and to see what we're doing and how we can make the self-corrections to really move this to the next level. Because stuff that the president has in place, that the president's working on, stuff that Congress is working on, things that we're seeing now in the media, they're all starting to release some very, very dynamic factors into the equation. And I want us to be ready. I want us to be ready to grab that ball and to have the realistic sense of where we're moving and that we're doing it, that we're taking the necessary corrections we need to in advance of what I see as a huge influx that's coming our way. So, Janine, that's where I want to start. What do we have on the lineup this evening?
Well, we're going to start first with the president's new director of executive media relations, Cindy Hull. Cindy, are you with us?
I am with you. How are you guys tonight?
Very well, Cindy. Very well. Well, congratulations on your new position. What are you seeing through your eyes?
Well, we're trying to get a lot of stuff going.
And why don't you, before you tell us what you see through your eyes, tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can know who you are and how you come to be the media focus point.
Okay, well, most people, I think, have gotten to know me a bit on Skype, since I moderate several of the rooms on there. And I've been on the executive staff under Kimmy for the president for over a year now, about a year and a half, I guess. And apparently Tim decided this is where he wants me to be. I'm a lot more verbose whenever I'm on the computer than I am in person most of the time. So he decided this was a good spot to put me, and I've started getting some of the things started that he had asked me to do. And I got a blog going that's republictidbits.blogspot.com. and then the twitter.com/republictweet. And then, of course, we have our official Facebook page, which is republicfortheunitedstates.org. So we've got those on there. And, of course, we've got the groups like the one Rockets has that's real active as well. And I started there in Oregon, and as Janine will be quick to tell everybody, it's been far too long since I've been there. Hopefully, yes. I will be back. I'm looking forward to getting home to Oregon. I miss everybody there. But the main thing that I would want for everybody to do is, you know, I'm trying to get as much good news about the Republic on the blog and then tweeting that and putting it on Facebook. And if there's anybody out there that has good news, they can email it to me. Or if they see a place that there is some issue where there's some negative that allows comments, where I can go in and deal with that in a non-confrontational manner to try to get some of the things that are being said that are not true, get the truth out there in front of people. The more involvement we can get from everybody as far as those different links that I gave you is going to help a lot. And I know everybody, like you said, there's the 20% that's doing a lot of work, but those are also the people that whenever somebody goes to the official Facebook page and they ask a question, if those people are the ones that are answering it, it's going to carry a whole lot more weight than just somebody from the general populace that might not take as much involvement from. So if there's any extra time any of you guys have that you can, just pop in there and see what's going on and post something, and that would be a great help. You know, we want to paint a positive picture of the Republic for the United States, and these are the ways to get it out there where they can't ignore it. You know, we can reach a lot of people through the internet and social media, and it just snowballs in as the more people that get involved in passing on the information.
Well, Cindy, I don't know who sent it to me, but it was a real eye-opener since Randy Shannon has released a lot of discussion into the internet and discussion boards. I went on and I was responding to some of the people who were really slamming her in her state, and I had the most difficult time just navigating the boards and stuff. I'm not an internet sort of person very much, and doing the blogs and stuff gets a little frustrating. But somebody sent me, I can't tell you who it was, but it's called A Gentle Person's Guide to Forum Spies. It's an odd sort of title, but it goes in and it talks about, it takes 5 points, and it says con intel pro techniques for dilution, misdirection, and control of an internet forum. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I start reading it, and these people, I mean, this is almost like reading Saul Alinsky's book in terms of knowing your enemy. It's just like, you know, you think you're putting something nice out there, and they strategically can make your really great comment watered down with just some very strategic ways that they play with the blog. So, Janine, I know I didn't get this to you. It's sitting in your Skype folder on hold there, but maybe we can get this over to Chuck, and we could also get this to Cindy. But I think this is a very important read. It's about a 9-page article. It talks about 25 rules for disinformation, 8 traits for the disinformation list, how to spot a spy, 17 techniques for truth suppression. So
17 for truth suppression?
Yeah, 17 techniques for truth suppression. And this is a wild read. It's very powerful because you realize what they're doing to systematically make your voice innocuous when you might have a great response to something. So, you know, it's being wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. I commend this specifically to you, Cindy, in your work, but others as well who feel a calling to be working on the blogs and working on spreading the message to other areas. Because there are people who are just flat out not going to come our way. Reason won't bring them our way. Persuasion won't. Kindness won't. you know.
Absolutely. But getting help and get the news out in this sort of way is something that people can do in a very small amount of time and affect a lot of people and reach the ones that are interested in coming.
Amen. Amen. Will you go over more slowly these links you said? You said one was called Republic Tidbits something?
Yes, that's republictidbits.blogspot.com. And I have a few entries on there. In fact, I have one of the interviews with Randy Shannon on there for people to look at. And it's a good resource for people to send someone to that's interested in seeing some of the news as well. So that's a good deal. And as far as the Twitter, and
well, let's just,
all
just before you go on to Twitter, let's go a little slower with it. What sort of tidbits you? So you have an article there by Randy, or is it a? Do you have the video links? What
it
are
is,
you? What's your focus?
I have
there?
The last entry I have here is President Turner on the Josh Tolley show.
Okay.
I have the list of the State of the Union tour on there. And the Republic calls that are open to the public. I have the one of the videos with Josh Tolley interviewing Randy Shannon. And then I just have some general information about your future and history off the main page that are on there as well. And links to the main page and the Twitter and the study guide.
Now, is this something that people go to to look what's new on? Is that something that you post something new every day? Is that one of those sorts of sites?
I don't know if I have something new every day. But as frequently as I find something that is good news that I can put out, and that's why I would like people to send to my email address if they see a video that I might not have seen yet or whatever. You know, just send me a link to it real quick, and that way I've got different options to put on there, and I will certainly try to get it a post on there at least every day. So it's just a matter of what all I have.
When you say your email address, would you go ahead and give that out slowly to people?
Certainly. That would be c.hull, H-U-L-L, at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay, very good. And then you talked about Republic tweets. What is, for those of us who are over 50, would you please tell us what a tweet is and and how that works?
Can I interject just for just a moment?
Yeah.
In tweeting, Cindy would be our top twit.
Sorry.
I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it.
All right, Tweety. Tell us about twitting.
Twitting. Okay. On Twitter, basically what it is where you try to say as much as you possibly can in 160 characters or less. So most of what I put on there is just links to something else or just a quick little note or whatever. And then you have people that follow you, so that they see all the tweets that you put out. And then sometimes they will retweet that so that other people see it, and it just kind of snowballs out to where you get more and more people seeing it. That would basically be what Twitter is.
So
and our,
how many twits do you find follow you when you're tweeting? And then when you get to your destination, is there a worm there?
There's no worm.
So they follow you. And
I only have 22 followers for the Republic tweet account at this point. So we need more people to follow it and get that information out to other people.
Have you tweeted your Twittering to Brad Luchek, who is Facebooking? Or does tweeting and Facebooking not go hand in hand?
Well, a lot of people connect the accounts so that every time they tweet something, it also goes on Facebook. Mine are not connected. But
is that just a technical thing that needs to happen for that to happen?
Well, I could probably See, I have more than one Twitter account, so I'm not sure. I will have to check and see how I could put the two of them together. I typically put everything that I've got on Twitter, I put on Facebook as well anyway. So it goes out to everybody.
Awesome. So so that's tidbits. That's tweeting. You talked about something about Rockets had a site. I am not aware of that. So tell us about what is we expect to see on Rockets' site.
Well, on Facebook, Rockets has started a Facebook group for the Republic, for the United States of America. There's actually three or four different groups, but Rockets her group seems to be very active. They answer a lot of questions and discuss a lot of different things on there. And Rockets is awesome about putting up quotes that she hears on calls from different people, the president or whatever, or putting up information that we had never heard before. So it's a pretty good site for people to learn a lot from. She's doing a lot of good work on there.
Okay. Is that well? Maybe it could become a project to connect your tweeting and her Facebook with Brad's Facebook that he talked to us about last week, with the tidbits, and kind of get all those expanding so that your 22
yes.
turns into 22,000 or whatever.
Right.
You know?
I do put links on Rockets group as often as I remember. I get the official page as well as Rockets group that she's got and put the information on there, because she has a hard time keeping up with that page, let alone trying to go find other ones to look at. So I try to make sure that she gets the information as well.
Cindy? Something we might need to talk about too is, I know Oregon and a few states have done this already, but the states should consider creating Facebook pages too. Do you want to talk about that a little bit so we can link the state Facebook pages to our national page?
Absolutely. That would be great. I have seen quite a few of the different pages, like the Oregon Republic, that have a Republic page on Facebook. And if we could get a list of everybody that does have one and links to them, anyone that has one, if they could email that to me, I will try to get a list put together to put on the official page. And hopefully that will encourage other people to start one for their state as well.
You know, there's nothing more exciting than starting off on a project and having a look back after a period of time and going, wow, look what I've done, or look what we've done. Last week, Brad talked about the hits to our Facebook site increased 2,100 times, 2,100 times, 2,108 times or something. I forget exact amount. And
wow.
That was huge, okay? Now,
yeah.
I would challenge us, and this whole networking that you're building here is – start a baseline. So make it today. And it's like, okay, you have 22 followers on Twitter. You have X amount of hits on the Tidbits site. You've got X amount on Rockets Facebook group. And we've got X amount on the Republic, the main page. And to start to document on a weekly basis and then on a monthly basis, what sort of progress we're having. And along with that, a running index or something like that of what's being added, because it might be the article, like it was with Randy Shannon, that causes huge spike excuse me in the Republic's activity to the Republic sites, or it might be a result of your consistent tweets that catch the flow of where people are at with their Twittering, and you might get 10,000 new tweets because of something you've laid in a groundwork of the messages you've been doing on that. And if we can start to measure those, we're going to start to see that we're having real effect, and it's not kind of hit and miss, like, oh, well, we tried this, it didn't work. Oh, we tried that. Well, yeah, it was okay. Oh, yeah, we've been doing this for a year now, but we've only had, four new people in the process.
Right, and I'm an admin on the Facebook official page on Facebook as well, and it gives you an insight still that will tell you on July 7th, how many people were talking about you, how many people you reached, as opposed, well, like on July 7th, 1,037 people were reached, and on July 21st, there were 41,131 people reached.
Sweet.
By the
wow.
page. So, yeah,
wow.
it keeps track of all of that for us, so it works pretty good.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. Well done. So, sounds like you have you're well in the groove there with that sort of responses to Facebook. I really look forward to that translating into numbers of new memberships in each state. How do you direct them from your Tidbit site and your tweet sites to become members, to join the Republic? How's that process kind of, how do you connect those dots?
Well, basically at this point, what I've got is links at the bottom, and I was going to do up a blog and have President Turner approve it, of course, as far as just an introduction as to why we have the blog and as to recruiting and how to go about getting hold of people and all of that, and then have him approve that for me to put on the blog as well. So far, everything I've put on there has been stuff that had already been approved and put out. But he's been a little busy lately, so I have not been bothering him.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. We talked about on a recent cabinet call about the delegation to the appropriate secretaries to assist him
Absolutely.
In that process, because he, you know, we can't be expecting that the president makes a decision on everything. It's a bit like Moses in the Bible. His father-in-law Jethro said, "Moses, you're going to get really tired if you try to judge every situation that comes before you here." And he divided them up into groups of 10 and groups of 50 and groups of 100. So I think the same principle is true in the Republic. I know that maybe when Speaker Lounsbury gets on, he'll tell you there's a group that has got together to look at developing a media response and that. And so perhaps that may be an appropriate channel to be channeling some of that, you know, input and approval through. There was,
right.
I think, about 11 or so of us on that panel. So
great.
Anyway, all steps in advance.
We are moving forward.
Yes, we are. Well, Janine, do you have any other points that you want to cover here? Cindy, I'm really excited to hear your story here and your reports. This is good news.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. You know, when I was still an ambassador, I had created a blog too, and it's amazing how powerful that can be. And starting with no more than just the few people we had at that time in our assembly, and encouraging people to forward the messages on and whatnot, and posting, you know, every two or three days posting something on the blog. Before I took on this new job and I had to, I didn't have the time for it, I'd had over 20,000 hits on my blog, and that starting from 50 people, of knowing 50 people and sending it out. So it is powerful. It's something absolutely everyone in the Republic can do to get this word out, and it's exponential, the numbers that we can reach. So it's important. Robert, I'm going to let you know that I do not have Speaker Lounsbury on the call with us this evening. I believe he's been delayed and may not be able to join us in a meeting from a meeting he's in. But I do have the House Admin Representative Michael Reagan, and I have Senator Mark Hafner on the line with us this evening. And did I lose everybody?
I'm sorry. I had my speaker off. I muted. I apologize.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I also see we have Representative Bill Hargraves from Tennessee.
He is. I didn't see him. I'm sorry.
Is he on the call too?
He's supposed to be. I don't see him on the host code, but I'll go look for him.
And I also invited Representative Tim Coleman out of Arizona, but I didn't put him on the host, so we'd have to look for him on the,
okay.
the guest line.
I'll look for both of them while you get started.
All right. So what we want to do in the Congress is to look at what Congress is doing to lay out the grid for the people's voice, how bills are brought to the floor, what sort of agenda is laid out in advance, how you and I can know what's coming up to be talked about in the House, and how we can give input, how we can know these things in advance, and just what the tone of Congress is, and whether there is policies and procedures, whether there's rules and things like that in place now in Congress. So we're going to start off with Representative Michael Reagan. I understand you are the you're the assistant to the House Speaker. Perhaps you could tell us what your actual role is and tell us a little bit about yourself. I see you come from Virginia. Good evening.
Good evening, Robert. Good evening, Janine. No, to correct you, first off, I'm not the assistant to the House Speaker. I'm the chairman of the House Administration and Information Technologies Committee in the Congress. We administrate the procedures in the Congress. We administrate the records in the Congress. We administrate the details of setting up the accounts for our representatives. We help every individual state with the duties of the Congress to get them up to speed. We administrate the ballots, the voting procedures in the House.
And turn off.
I'm sorry, we have just a little bit of confusion going on here in background. So if you're not speaking, Representative Hargraves, I'd like for you to come on our host line if you can. And that way, if I have to mute you, it won't kick you completely out.
Can you text him that, Janine?
Yes, I'll text him that information.
Okay, good. I'm sorry, Representative Reagan, please proceed. So I heard you say that you're the chairman of technology, and it sounds like you get the pieces in place, procedures, records, details of accounts, setting up new members and getting them comfortable with the process. Please continue, sir.
We are in the House Administration Committee and Information Technologies Committee the primary contact for the Congress, for the House branch of the Congress, I'll just say that. We are the individuals that if you have new representatives in your state, you would always recommend they send questions or anything about the administration of the Congress, any ways they function, rules, procedures, to the House admin at republiccongress.org. The rules, procedures of the House, since you brought that back up, has since, on the last congressional meeting that we had, we brought forth no new legislation, and we had basically a beat the drum session of let's find out what we've missed, what we've skipped, what we need to move forward on while legislation is still in the committees, and what do we need to do to address some issues with absenteeism in the Congress. How do we address that at the state level, at the national level, what all those things entail. So what came out of that congressional meeting on Tuesday? Number one, we have interested individuals right now in Congress that want to go back and readdress our House rules and procedures, get them actually written down, get them fully in place, because as most people may or may not understand, legislation that can come into the House, okay, we're all servants of the people, we're not officers, we are members of the House of Representatives, just like every other sovereign individual in the Republic, we're just members. So anyone can bring the public's business, i.e. legislation, to the House for that to be remanded to a committee that has specific purview over that issue, and that committee will work on that legislation or try to adopt it or try to get it to some fit or function that it can come before the House so that it can be voted upon and or passed or fail. And there's a lot of things that the administration does. For instance, the Republic Congress Resource Center is our website. And what that is republiccongress.org. Now, what I would tell everyone in the Republic today, that website should be your best friend. This is the legislature. If you click on the public tab, you do not have to log in. Every piece of legislation that comes before the House, any reports, is all in that public tab. Everything is there for you to see. Now, as the old adage says, Robert, and I'm sure you'll agree to this, the power is with the person that counts the votes, not the person that votes. Have you ever heard that, sir?
I haven't, but I'm listening.
Okay.
That's so is that why we have such a discrepancy at the polls and such voter fraud? Is that why? Because that attitude is
true. It could be in the de facto, but that's not my primary concern. My primary concern is transparency in our Congress so that the people can go and find out, well, I have a legislator in my state, and I know that I've talked to them, and everyone in our assembly has talked to them, and we vehemently disagree with this legislation, and we want them to vote no. Well, lo and behold, you have a resource to go to find out how every legislator by name voted on that legislation. Yes, no, or they did not even show up and were absent. This website on the public documents section should be viewed by every member in the Congress that wants their voice heard, every member in every state and every assembly, because every House member vote is recorded on the voting ballot. So what we have done is instead of, okay, in the de facto, obviously you understand your vote doesn't matter because they count them and they do not have a transparency where you can see how it was done. We have just the opposite because we have integrity in the Republic, we have integrity in the legislature, and we have to have transparency for the people to see what they need to function. If my congressman is not going to vote the way our assembly wanted him to, and there was no resolution to that meeting, like we had 500 people and a congressman there, and he represents us, for instance, and he goes against what the people want, then they may need to find out why. They may need to go in and look to see what their attendance records are. If I have legislators that are absent that are supposed to be representing me, why are they absent? So all of these things are in the public. This is public record. You can go in here and look to see what's in here as far as legislation regarding treasury, legislation regarding naturalization. All the things are in there. So I would hope that everyone in the Republic can go to that website, be familiar with it, and understand the administration is here to take care of all the issues and functions of the Congress, of the legislature in its congressional session, and make sure that we're doing it appropriately. Now, who would they send? I'm a member of the public. Who would I send a issue that I have with the constitutionality of a piece of legislation? Where would I send that?
Well, you'd probably send it to the Chief Justice. Or perhaps the Attorney General?
What if the legislation is not out of Congress yet? What if it's just being voted upon? Or it's just being read?
Well, that's a really good question. That would be a more timely place to bring your concern. Where would you take it? Yeah.
We want to correct things. Now, we're all individuals. We're not lawyers. We don't know all of the law. We do a lot of research into every legislative act that we pass. We do. The thing is, when we post up on the homepage of the Republic Congress Research Center, we specifically post now, by every piece of legislation, the committee email address beside anything that comes before our Congress so that you can, even as a member of the public, click on it, open your email, and make your comments known to that committee. They may have a serious oversight or overstepage, whatever you want to say, and they need that one tidbit of knowledge to be brought to them. Now, if they do not get an answer from that committee, who do they send it to? They send it to the administration committee of the House, which is houseadmin@republiccongress.org. We take care of we're all servants in the Congress. I'll just put it to you that way. However, the administrative committee is the servants of the servants. We all have the mindset that we use servant leadership as our guideline and goal and how we use our the vesting of authority that we have in that body. When the House Speaker is absent, the administrative committee has to make determinations or the House Speaker has to name a Speaker pro tem. I had to administrate the last congressional session on last Tuesday because the House Speaker actually had to be away. Actually, it was for his 30th wedding anniversary, so I would like to congratulate him on that. So we had really no business last Tuesday in that Congress session, but what came out of it was also the readdressing of that House Rules and Procedures. And Representative Gus Gustafson, Representative Brad Luchek, a couple of individuals from Arizona are actually taking up that mantle. It's been brought forward before why we don't have written hard procedures and rules in the House right now. And I expressed that to Representative Luchek. I gave him the original draft that we had of the rules, policies, procedures that had come up with at the beginning of the House many moons ago. And we came to the understanding that when we drafted the first one, we got way ahead of ourselves. We tried to draft things that were great for in-person, fully ready-to-go, hired positions that are in the Congress, and everybody's in person and we're all there. But unfortunately, on a conference call with our Congress, we could not even function. We had no clerk to hand our documents into. We had no journal to open to even look at. We had none of the things that you would have in person. So now they're actually readdressing those issues to find us most likely three sets of rules that we would have to function under that every congressional member would get, being in a kind of like this conference call we're in now. What are the rules? What are the procedures? How do I make a motion? And then we have to have a interim meeting in person because the Congress, as the chairman of the administration, I have to go out and hire these positions. If I don't have a doorkeeper and it's mentioned in the rules, well, we can't function under that. If we can't, then I have to go do it. So I'll be your doorkeeper and I'll be your clerk and I'll go over here and be the sergeant at arms and all of those things. So we'll have to have three sets of rules eventually. They're working on that now to get them put into place. What I would say for anyone in the Republic right now, if you have questions concerning the legislature, if it's specific to the Senate, you need to send it to the Senate admin at republiccongress.org. If it's specific to the House, please send it to my committee at houseadmin at republiccongress.org. I work with every state in the Republic. Just about every week they have issues. We've answered probably 5,000-plus emails in our committee, and we have a very large email system. We administrate all the legislative contact forms, all of the records. We have a very important committee, but we all have it in our heads specifically that we're just servants. That's all we are. And we try to take that mindset and rub it off on all the rest of the House members that, look, you know, you come into this body and you have an agenda to get things done, but you need to make sure that that agenda reflects what your people want, not because you think it's right, wrong, or indifferent. What do the people want, and how do we need to address it? Now, right now in the Congress, we're specifically addressing how do we go from provisional to interim to permanent. And we're trying to reflect that transition of legislation. There's something that comes up every day for us to look at in committee to move toward that goal of permanent. And once we have achieved permanent, where we have more than 51% of the population behind us in the United States, then guess what? We're all going to go to permanent elections, which means every position just about in the Republic will come up for election, especially in the legislature. All those will come back up for election so that we can put these positions to the majority of the individuals, not just the individuals that we have currently. With that, Robert, do you have any questions, sir?
Oh, yeah, I do. I have about four that I wrote down while you're talking. And it goes back to measuring our performance and measuring our success. The Republic Congress page that has the public tab on it, if you click on that, You have told us more on this phone call in terms of how to navigate and how to find some things out that anyone would possibly know by looking at that public tab. The public tab does not have any introductory directory to it, and so it makes it, unless you happen to be in the know as to where this information is, it really doesn't lend itself to facilitating that transparency that folks who are not members of Congress need to know about. So is it possible that someone can put a welcome page to the Republic page and give the layperson a way to navigate through what you offer on that page?
Yes, sir. I will get with House Speaker Mark Lounsbury if he's going to put that specific page.
I think it'd be real help to folks to see that, because while you were talking, I went online to pick on a controversial bill, and I was very intrigued to see that on that particular bill, and the one I looked at was the counselors or lawyers being licensed, that states voted in block. Not all states, admittedly, not all states, but a number of states voted either yay or nay, all in blocks, or even abstention, all in blocks. And I thought that was a very that was an interesting story. It didn't say much, but it did say that those states at least are talking to each other and seem to have some really strong opinions on one side or the other of it. So I did notice that. So I was glad that you told me that. That was good for us to learn more. The next question I noticed, or the next thing I noticed, is it has been at least 6 months, probably more like 9 months, that we talked about making the available to the public the calls for what happens in the House and the Senate. And the Senate seems to be closed for some reason. In the House, if you call in at the time of the call or listen to the archive for that week, you can hear the call. I don't yet see anywhere where you can get an archive like you can with the roundtable or like you can with some of the subcommittees of the history of what's happening in the halls of Congress, so folks can listen to the tone of the discussion and get a deeper feel for what's really happening in the debate process, in the discussion process, as you guys wrestle through the research and then onto the floor and how it's perceived and the languaging and the nuances and all that. So what's happening to create a historical archive for the public to be able to see transparently what is being discussed in the halls of Congress?
Robert, as far as posting them to the website so far, we have not done that. House Speaker Lounsbury has this website for the Congress. Specifically, what I learned is our server business and all of our email accounts actually are on the same hosting, and our email accounts are actually taking up all of our space currently right now, as we've had to increase it just recently because of the overload of emails and so forth that our Congress uses. Now, as far as putting the actual call listing up there, I don't have a problem with that. All of them have been saved and are archived on a different server, so pointing them toward that server or recopying them over to a secondary server somewhere and providing links to it wouldn't take any amount of space on this one. That's something that we'll have to address. And getting Speaker Lounsbury in one place at any five-minute period is, as you probably know, very difficult to do. So that's something we'll have to work on. I have that written down also, by the way, so that we can take a look at that and see if we can get those things up in front of everybody in the back of the historical archive. Also, if there are any specific calls, because I have a number of people that actually ask for them, if they want links to any of the calls, the House Administration sends those out all the time. We also do the records of the individual states. Attendance records, by the way. But that's something that we can do, sir.
Awesome. I mean, I recognize we had on last week's call, we had the whole technology issue and the, you know, moving over to new servers and stuff. And I get the technology challenge there for sure. So just helpful observations from a layperson to see that would be helpful in this process to help folks feel like we are being transparent. We are moving in a direction where the voice of the people is able to filter up to the limited delegated authority that we've entrusted in, you know, as you say, that servant heart, the servant leaders, those who are desiring to be transparent and do the will of the people. And perception is a huge part of that. So well done. I commend you for the work you're doing and what you're doing to put the pieces together. It looks like you are developing systems, and that's great. How to navigate the site was my other one. So I think if you do an introduction and navigate that, that kind of would solve that observation. And the last question that I have before I bring on the Senate is, I noticed that there was nothing in the upcoming legislation. How is it language? Let me go back to that. It's under here it is. Under current legislation, when I clicked on that tab, there's nothing in there. So there's a lot under past legislation, nothing under current. I know from my work at a state level that there is a procedure in place for bringing bills to the floor. And it goes something like this. By the certain day in January, all the representatives and the senators in the House and the Senate in our state legislature have to present their bills to the – it's like a legal team, a review team or something, to get their basic bill, to get a jacket for it, a bill number for it, and to get it started in the works. And then – I know that it then goes through a filtering process of what the House, the Speaker of the House and the leader of the two different parties do. And I mean, I'm not suggesting that we're going to mimic the two-party system at all, but just in terms of a process, they go through the process of – so everyone who has anything that their constituents say that they are concerned about, they have the opportunity to create a bill, create a jacket, and get it onto the docket. Then somebody creates a docket, and I don't know how that works, but they create a docket, and then you see all the legislation that's coming up. What do we have? I'm sure that there's stuff out there in the works. There's got to be things under current legislation that are being worked in subcommittees. Where do you go to find that information?
What we generally do, sir, let me start back at the beginning. With the current legislation on the bottom of the website, that is specific only to holding information that's been read into Congress already, so that the legislators and the public can click on it and say, okay, this is something before the House right now. Now, as far as turning in legislation to be looked at by Congress, we don't have a hopper for you to specifically place it into in person, but what we do have is an inbox. So you would send any of your legislation to the House administration. We get it to the House Speaker. He remands it back to the committee that's in charge of that issue. That issue sits in committee to be determined, however it may be, if it's something that they're going to proceed with or cannot proceed with. A lot of legislation does come forward that's unconstitutional. You just can't do some of the things that the de facto does. You can't make the world right if it's in violation of the Constitution. So a lot of the things that do come forward don't end up anywhere, and there's really not any reporting system on, well, I turned in a bill and it didn't go anywhere because I want whatever the case may be. So it's either brought forward back out of committee. Now, every committee has certain pieces of legislation in front of them currently. Some do not. Some have research that they're ongoing about how to address certain issues, like we have the Judicial Committee that does a lot of research and development, and I'm sure he'll be talking later. But we have, once it comes into committee, the committee has to vote to take it out of committee. So all those documents that are committee drafts do not leave Congress. They're remanded there for a reason, because just because Congress is debating something or has a draft copy of something does not mean that's the full, final, engrossed version, which is the final version, of the legislation to be put forward in front of the House or to be voted on. So to have those things come out and be looked at is improper for the basic fact that what if we had something in there that was unconstitutional and was caught, and or something that looks like it, or was worded incorrectly, that it looks like it wants to do this, and the intent of the document was taken totally incorrectly. So what they try to do is, if it comes out of the committee, they'll vote on it, they'll bring it out of the committee, bring it back to the House Speaker. Now, you have to have a calendar for the Congress, and a de facto Congress has, or House, has four calendars. We have a calendar, and we put it on our agenda. So we have the orders of the day, which is what our agenda is for that day, and how we're going to proceed with our business on that call that night. So we have legislation put on the calendar when it comes forward, like out of the Treasury Committee. It'll come up, and then we'll put it on the calendar, put it on the agenda, address the orders of the day, either in a joint session or just the House, depending on how we want to do it. We use the joint session a lot because we find in Congress right now that we need to throw as many rocks as we can at this legislation and see if it's going to stand up to what we have to throw at it. So what we do is we go round robin with the House and the Senate back and forth, just picking up the biggest rocks we can find to knock this legislation over. And if it's still standing at the end of that joint session between the House and the Senate, then we break apart. And what we do is we go back to the House, the Senate goes back to the Senate, and then we continue throwing rocks at it and taking longer discussions on the legislation before it's actually called for a vote. Now, if it has small issues like punctuation or a small incorrect spelling of a word, nothing functional, just some small error, then it can proceed forward and be changed even after it's called for a vote. That's not specific to it has to be 100% ingrained in glass and put in stone. So as long as the legislation is constitutional and it's passed even the joint session debate and the House debate, then we have the legislation come up for a vote. And the real thing about a vote, it's not whether the legislation passes, it's hopefully that the legislation can fail. And it's we want it to fail if it's against what we need. If we don't need something and it fails, we have equally served the Republic. Because I feel that voting yes or voting no on these pieces of legislation is specific to the district in the House that you live in and the people local to your area that you represent. So, yes, you can have states that go all yes. You can have states that all go all no. And you can have states that go vote back and forth. But the real thing to understand is when the first piece of legislation that will fail in our Congress, that's when we've really done a service to the people, because we kept that from becoming some, whether it's a resolution for the House or a bill that would become law later, and we've really got it where it wasn't something that we needed. Now, the items that we have so far in the Congress that we have passed are items that we do need. We get information in our Congress and in our committees of things that we don't think about. If we don't think about things that we need to be looking at, that information coming forward is not to tell us, okay, here's the piece of paper, this is what you need to legislate. No, it's something that would come forward. Like, for instance, if a country wanted to buy a treasury bond, for instance, which we don't have legislation for currently, then that information, if there's something that comes forward and they say, okay, there's an intent by country that would like to buy your republic bonds instead of de facto bonds. We don't have legislation today, but we may be forming that up based on the intent that we understand for later. So whether it's constitutional or not,
very good. Representative Reagan, I'm going to pause you there because I want to bring in some more folks into the discussion here. And I see that you and I seem to both be on Skype, so I'm going to ask you to self-mute yourself, otherwise I'll have to mute the board because we feed back through each other, our phones feed back to each other. And I want to bring into the discussion here Senator Mark Hafner from the Senate, and just to get us up to speed on, we see here on the Republic Congress how the House is working. I'd like Senator Hafner to tell us how it works for transparency within the Senate, because the Senate seems to be more tucked away from the eyes of the public. So, welcome, Senator Hafner.
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
We have an echo.
Well,
I hear an echo. I don't know if anybody else does.
Well, you go right ahead, and I'll mute myself once you start talking, and we'll see if that resolves it. Otherwise, there's no other interference on the line.
Before I ask, I think, the question that you've asked of me, I've been listening for the last hour, and I'd like to maybe give a little balancing perspective from what I've been hearing. There is a big difference between the perfection of theory and the mess of reality. Anybody can draw out on a blackboard exactly how something should be done, how it should flow chart, how it should happen, how transparency can be achieved, how everything can be journaled and everything. And Mr. Murphy alluded to the fact that some of the procedures that they had set up, they don't really have the capacity to do them because we're convening electronically rather than in a room where we can have a person to keep the door and a person to log it into the book. And you talked about folders to get all by a certain date for the legislation to come out. This is all the perfection of theory. I'd like to bring some counterbalance to the discussion. Right now, we are not in the perfection of theory. We are in the mess of reality. And what I mean by that is, as we are working very hard to get a place at the international table of absolute recognition and standing, passports, our courts to be absolutely respected concerning our citizenry, there are so many pieces that we are working on all at the same time to try to get this thing back up and running that I'm afraid that what's actually going on isn't just the perfection of the theory on the blackboard. I know, as a legislator, numbers of people that are working from 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, many nights till after midnight, 6 and 7 days a week, without pay, without staff, without enough income to even pay their own bills. Now, when George Washington was gathering the army and fighting the British, he was a servant of the people. But there wasn't a lot of transparency for all the people back in the colonies as to how he was actually managing the army. Why? Because in the mess of reality, it just didn't work out that way. So I'm not trying to say, and I don't want to be misquoted, and I might be, but I don't want to be, the transparency and many of the things that have been discussed tonight aren't absolutely wonderful. I'm saying, put it in perspective. We are not face-to-face. We don't have funding. Communication is limited. A couple times tonight I heard that, well, Mr. Lansbury could just do this or Mr. Lansbury could just do that. Do you any idea what Mr. Lansbury's schedule is like? So I just want to put some balancing perspective to it. I would like to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going on. In just a few short years, we are accomplishing phenomenal things, and things are beginning to speed up. And as things speed up, things are going to be happening more and more quickly. And I would love for everybody on this call to get off this call tonight and to get down on their knees and thank the Lord for the people that are working 60 and 70 hours a week for no pay to pull this thing together. And please consider if there's any – you talked earlier about the 80-20, okay? It's more like a 5 and a 95. There are a lot of people that should be recruiting that aren't. There are a lot of people that could do research. If I had 3 full-time people, I could put them to work on reading and doing research for the work that I'm doing on committee. And I don't have a soul. And many of the other lawmakers are just like that.
Again, Marco, why don't you give out your email address for anyone who is interested in doing some research and coming alongside you?
Unless they're willing to move to St. Louis, because a lot of the things we're working on we can't do over the internet. We can't do over the telephone. This is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to recruit people for our staff. I'm just trying to point out that where we are right now is that because we are not face-to-face, we can't do everything that would make the transparency up to the standard that we'd all like to hit, okay? So I just wanted to put that balancing perspective in. So I'll shut up. I'll get off my soapbox. Questions for me?
Well, thanks for being on your soapbox. You have every right to do that. What I would like you to talk about is the Senate, and talk about what the Senate is doing and how the process is similar to the House, how it's working in the Senate, and what is the we recognize we went over the 80-20 principle. We certainly the call you maybe have missed it at the beginning. What our focus is on measuring our success. And as we measure it, it's one thing to think we're doing real good. We self-assess to think we're doing better than we are. It's a kind of a human tendency. And what we're trying to do is to define what it is that we can quantify and measure to say, okay, we've come a long way. In the last 2.5 years, it is amazing. And you're quite correct. It's amazing what God has done in and through us and what has happened in the re-inhabiting of the Republic. At the same time now, we need to measure our success, and we need to measure that we're not only thinking we're doing good, but what is the perception and what's the feedback and what's the process that we're actually doing. So policies and procedures, how bills are brought, how the public's voice from the assemblies, from the grassroots of the Republic, how it's being brought up into Congress, how it's being heard, how it's being addressed. And clearly Representative Reagan indicated some of that, and some of the things that are brought up are clearly not constitutional, so they have to be, you know, tabled or not even brought up. But give the people a window into the Senate and what you guys are doing so that we can appreciate and come alongside the efforts that you're doing. And what do we see? Are you on the same website? Are you on the RepublicCongress.org website? How do people see specifically what the Senate is up to?
Well, I think you'd be better off to ask those questions to Mr. Lounsbury and to Mr. Geiger. I'm not in a position to speak for the Senate. I'm just a senator, okay? That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is that here's how I view what's happening in the Senate or in the Congress right now. We have been talking for 2 years about being parallel. We've been talking about having recognition, having identification that they will recognize as valid, having them recognize that we're not their jurisdiction. We've talked in the past about having peace compact with the de facto corporation while we're doing parallel. We've talked about many things, including our court systems and everything else, and what will parallel look like. I would maintain that there's 100 different aspects of things that are critically needed so that when parallel happens and the growth spurt that you were talking about earlier actually hits, that we have the laws in place and the mechanisms in place and the structure in place to manage that, to manage the needs of the new Americans that will just be finding out about us and coming in and joining us. Really with a very cursory understanding of who we are. And the main thing that I see happening in the core of the people within the House and especially within the Senate is the things that have to be done internationally. The Senate deals with international issues that the House does not deal with. There's different constitutional responsibilities. There's, I think, a greater need, and I hate to use the term national security because people get a rash when you use that because they think you're just being secretive. But the Senate deals with international things and deals with things that are of a nature to where until we are completely up and running in parallel, there's a lot of things that we have to do that are, how should I say, they're more delicate. They're more sensitive. What I see going on in the Senate right now is a lot of work, and the work is also going on in conjunction with the House in committee to have us ready that when we have a peace compact with the de facto and when we have proven absolutely internationally and it actually goes public that we are not in their jurisdiction, that there's going to be things that we have to have up and running, and that's the work that's going on behind the scenes. And there are people that are – I have 10,000 minutes a month on my cell phone, okay? 10,000 minutes a month on my cell phone. And I don't work as hard as a lot of people do, okay? So I'm not sure that I can give you an accounting of the Senate's procedures and how they're going to provide transparency to the people. I think you'd be better off to ask that question of Mr. Geiger.
Well, very well. Then let's just open up the panel to a couple of other representatives who we have on the host code here. And that is Representative Hargraves out of Tennessee and Representative Coleman out of Arizona. So, gentlemen, I welcome you to the call. I'd like you to weigh in here from your perspective as representatives, and then we'll open it up for questions here in just a minute. So, you have to unmute yourself. Very good. Pastor Coleman, I see you come up on the line. You are live.
Yes, I am here.
You am. Good evening, sir, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm here to echo on me too.
Okay, I will mute myself. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. I really enjoyed the breakdown or the information that Representative Michael Reagan gave earlier, and I tell you, he's one of the most respectable men that I know. He has earned my respect in a very high degree, and he's a workhorse and he's got right attitude. He's a humble servant, and anyway, so I appreciated his input and his report. just a couple things I would add, and that is that there has been a lot of frustration, and we've lost a lot of really good people, I think. Because of the lack of communication, and I know some things you can't communicate, and I understand that, but I think we're suffering from a lot of natural things that take place when something like this is attempted. And so, what we need, for example, one of our most active committee members. Who recently left the Republic, I wrote him an email, and I said I wanted to get more particulars as to why. I just saw the announcement. And so, you know, I knew that he could talk to me, and he did respond. But I wrote him, and I said, look, regardless of what your reasons are, the bottom line is there is no other method of reclaiming the constitutional governance under the Constitution of our founding fathers. You either have to do something brand new or re-inhabit one or the other. You can't do both. And so I told him there is no other option. So quitting should not really be an option. And so I encouraged him to come back in and be satisfied with having the opportunity to express his grievances, and if he doesn't feel like he's being heard, then to get more people who will hear him, who will echo what he says if they agree. And at some point, the people have to be heard. And as representatives, sometimes I get the impression from other representatives as well that the house is like the third cousin or the fifth wheel as far as the pecking order of respect. And it really ought to be the opposite. It should be the strongest. The Article 1 is the longest of the articles in the Constitution. It's the first one mentioned, and it represents the people. So,
Pastor Coleman, can I just interrupt you because I don't understand your analogy? I'm not sure what a third cousin is, what that is, or a fifth wheel. So if you could just kind of make it a little more plain from I guess I was raised in Australia, so maybe we just didn't have those sayings.
Well, I just – thank you. I just heard that term, and I used it. It seemed to fit. It's almost – okay, and I don't mean this that I feel this way. I get a lot of this from people who feel that the executive and the Senate are the big boys and we're the little boys, and I don't think that's intended, obviously, but because there's so much that feeling. Okay, I've been in leadership for years, and when you're a leader and someone senses you're being too strong of a leader, then a good leader is going to take that under consideration instead of just reject it out of hand and talk louder and stronger. So there's just some things that we all have to learn as we go through this. Communication is so very, very important. Like marriage, it's number one, number one importance. And as far as relationship, of course, a man has to go to work. So we have to work on what we're doing, but we've got to remember that communication is very important and humility is very important. And that's why I really appreciated Representative Reagan's comments that they work real hard in the admin of being, of having, developing the attitude of being servant leaders and the servant of the servants. And that's what we all need to be, because that's all we are. The people are our bosses. One of the things that I just wanted to bring up that initially, there's a lot of things initially we had to do because we're new. Everything originated from a small group of people as far as the decision-making and so forth. But now that we're getting bigger, we're spread. We got, 38 or more states that are green and functional. We have to back away from that more and more. And we have to let the people do their thing. President Turner said that over and over. It's up to the people. The people have got to step up. And a lot of things are the fault of the fact we have a lot of representatives who are brand new, don't know what they're doing. And a lot of them don't know the Constitution as well as they should. They just started learning. They love it. They have an emotional tie to it, a mental tie to it, but they don't know it well enough. And all of us need to be reading that thing over and over and over and referencing it constantly in everything that we do. Every decision we need to make, we need to balance with the Constitution. Where is the authority to do that? So one of the things that a lot of representatives right now are beginning to demand, and that is that we have a way to present bills to the floor for consideration instead of them always coming from some joint committee. We want the separation of the houses. We want the House and all of its committees to do their business, present bills to the Congress or to the floor of the House, vote on it, and then send it to the Senate instead of doing everything in joint. Now, early on, again, that would be the way to do it early on, but we need to move away from that now and start doing things and giving the people the checks and balance that our founding fathers put in place, which is having two houses to Congress. So these are just some things that people are getting really antsy about, and so we have to respond. We've got to respond. And in response to what you said about getting help, and Senator Hafner responded to it a little bit, I am actively seeking for staff help. I've interviewed one person, and I'm not going to wait for funding. I've been doing all this voluntary. I work 60 hours, 70 sometimes more, on Republic business every week, research and so forth. I'm very flexible in my work, and I give a lot of my time to it. So I would expect someone else to be willing to do so too, and I'm looking for those kind of people to help. So these are just some things that I think are starting to be voiced that must not be resisted. They must be recognized as essential, and it's a growing pain. It's like the toes telling the shoe, move out of the way, I'm growing. You got to get new shoes sometimes and or cut holes in them. So we're growing, and we're going to have growing pains, but we got to make sure we all have the attitude that this is the only way we can do it lawfully and peacefully. And we got to get this no quit attitude, and this we got to have a humble attitude. And like Senator Hafner said, we all need to be praying, asking God for His help, for His mercy, and thanking Him for what He has enabled us to do so far. That is very essential. I appreciate His comments on that. And I'll yield for now, unless you have some other questions.
Very well. Before I bring on Representative Hargraves, if you would please give out your email address for anybody who wants to contact you to come alongside you doing some research, please go ahead.
Yes, that'd be T.Coleman. That's T as in Timothy. Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, like Coleman Lanterns, Coleman Camping Gear, at republiccongress.org. So T.Coleman at republiccongress.org.
Thank you, Representative Coleman. Would you please mute your line, because you're on my phone do feedback together? And I'd like to welcome Representative Hargraves from Tennessee. Good evening, sir. And you will need to unmute yourself. Representative Hargraves, can you hear me? Huh. All right, Janine, well, while we're waiting for Representative Hargraves, will you please put it in the question and answer mode? Anyone who would like to make any comments or offer questions to our guests this evening, please press star 6 on your phone. And, what happened there? Let's try that again. Representative Hargraves? All right. Very good. So press star 6 on your phone, and then 1 if you'd like to weigh in with a question. Representative Hargraves, I'll give you another opportunity here. Can you hear me? Huh. Very good. Well, our first caller then comes in from area code 918, CJ Pereira. Good evening. Oh, you're back with us, are you, Janine?
Am I on?
Yes, sir, you are. Good evening.
Okay. Mike Reagan said earlier that you could go on Republic Congress and look at all the votes from the House of Representatives. But that's not true in the Senate. We can't see any voting on the Senate on the bills that pass through the House and the Senate. And I was just wondering if someone, is that was a mistake or is that intentional? I yield.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hafner, you would be the person to weigh in, but it sounds like that's not your purview. What do you know about it? Representative Hargraves, I see you got on there for a moment, so I've unmuted you, and you're welcome to weigh in, sir.
Thank you very much. Share some thoughts with the group tonight. I am chair of the Foreign Affairs, Trade, and Indian Affairs Committee in the House. And as everybody knows, the treaties and trade agreements are Senate matter, but the House would get involved when there's any funding to support programs that are necessary to carry out functions. Most of the people who originally signed up for this committee, there were only seven initially. Most of them were interested in Indian affairs. We now have 14. We are not meeting presently, but we are exchanging emails back and forth among the committee members. I'm not sure why I was selected chairman of the committee, but perhaps I can guess that maybe I have been involved with overseas travel more than anyone else, and I've been involved with trade activities internationally during most of the 30 years that I was with the steamship industry. We were an international company, and we were in 25 countries. It was my responsibility to go regularly to audit the activities, particularly as they pertain to agricultural business development. Last year, I had an opportunity to carry out a project, lead a project in Eastern Europe, particularly, specifically it was Ukraine. And I was there several times and developed an agricultural business unit over there. I have also been involved prior to that in agricultural trade policy issues, mostly for foreign countries in the Middle East and in Africa, northern and southern Africa. My knowledge of Indian affairs is very limited, and fortunately we have quite a few people on the committee who do have experience with Indian activities, and I'd like to put in a recruiting plug for those who have time to join us and interest. We're not looking particularly for experience. We're looking for people with clear thinking and who do not hesitate to express themselves. So anyone who would like to join our committee, we will be getting extremely busy as we deal with a lot of imponderables when it comes to our relationships with long-term changed relationships with the Indian nations. Meanwhile, I just to speak briefly about the other four committees that I am personally involved with. First one is Agricultural Natural Resources. I was interested in joining that because of my career in agricultural business development. Next is Transport and Infrastructure. It seems that I was one of the few who came forward from the maritime side of transportation. And also, as we expanded our maritime interests into the other three modes of transport and became a true intermodal company rather than just a steamship company, we actually managed our own railroads, trains, our own trucks on the highways, and we had relationships with specific airline companies to handle what is known in the trade as a sea-air combination, where, for example, cargo could be moved from Japan to a U.S. West Coast port and then flown inland to an out-of-the-way ultimate destination. One of the other committees I've been involved with is education, immigration, and integration. Mostly I joined them because of the education aspect of this. I feel very keenly that all of the education standards from kindergarten all the way up to graduate school have got to be dealt with, brought out of the progressive hands that are now in control of our education system, and brought back to biblical principles and their application in our daily lives, not just for interpersonal relationships, but also for business activity. The last committee I participate in is the Science, Technology, and Health. And in that committee, which is has lost its chair recently, but we were in the midst of putting together an act which would deal with GMO foods that are now becoming all pervasive and out of control due to the fact that the federal government de facto is completely in the hands of the international bankers and GMO companies. I should add in conclusion that our agriculture committee is in the midst of working on a resolution that will encourage the production again of industrial hemp. Anybody who needs to know more about industrial hemp, I encourage you to Google it, and you'll find out back in the 20s how we were hoodwinked by the European bankers who were in control of our plastics industry and our newspaper industry and newsprint industry manufacturing, how everything became illegal along with marijuana, and it could rejuvenate our economies and our states. Some have estimated by $1 trillion of business activity per year. So that's pretty much the report of committee activities as I see it, and I would encourage anybody who is not on a committee presently to please pick one and join and participate. We need all the clear thinking that we can possibly generate, and I yield.
Thank you, Representative Hargraves. Would you please give your contact information for folks who want to correspond with you or contact you with regards to any of the issues you've brought up here?
Yes, they can use whargraves@republiccongress.org.
Very good. And perhaps while your Indian Affairs subcommittee is laying dormant, you may be a good candidate to take up the lost chair in science and technology and health, because GMOs and that whole what it's doing to our health is just very, very concerning to me. It's very concerning. It's taking free enterprise, twisting it and perverting it, and making the science is supposed to bless us. The advances in science and technology and our crops and our industry should be blessing us, and instead it's causing some serious concerns. So please work on that bill, bring it forward. That's my two cents worth on it.
Well, I could very well reconsider that. We've had some discussions earlier on it, but we can reopen those discussions and perhaps come to a decision that would enable us to continue on and bring that GMO Act to the floor.
Very good. Well, let's go. Let's move back now. I see that Senator Hafner is back on the line, and we had a hanging question here as we had some technical difficulties. C.J. Pereira, would you repose your question, please, and give Senator Hafner the opportunity to respond to it?
Certainly. We're able to get on the Republic Congress and look at all of the votes from all of the representatives.
I'm sorry, C.J., could you hold on just a moment? Robert, I think I need you to mute your line again. Try that again, C.J.
All right. We can look at Republic Congress and look at all the votes of the representatives, but we were not able to bring up any votes from the Senate on any of the bills that have passed so far. Is that upcoming? Are they going to put that in where we can see the Senate vote at a later date or what?
This is Senator Hafner. Are you posing that question to me?
I suppose so.
Okay, well, I think that is a question that I could ask of the pro tem or of the Senate admin. It may just come under the category of one of the 100 great ideas that we just haven't had a chance to implement yet. I know that there is no intentionality to be secretive. I don't know that there's been very much demand in the past. I think the concept of the people throughout the Republic going to the Republic Congress.org website and looking at the legislation, looking at the voting, reading the stuff that's going on so they can email the chairs, I think is a phenomenal development. It's relatively new. I would say that within the last month or two, there's just beginning to become a public awareness that anybody in the Republic can go and look at pending legislation. I think that the news of that, that has been, we've had a capacity for that for, I don't know, maybe almost a year to look at pending legislation before it actually hit and to look at the legislation that just passed. I don't think most people knew about it. I think the idea of being able to look at the Senate votes is just something that just hasn't been pursued yet. There's just one of many things that we just haven't gotten around to. The other thing I wanted to comment on was that a lot of things come in spurts. Mr. Zuluaga made mention that there isn't any pending legislation up there right now. That might be true. One cause for that might be is that I would say that over the last 2 to 3 months, there were some weeks where we had extra calls met on a Tuesday night and a Thursday night, and on both nights brought forth 2 and 3 pieces of legislation to be voted on with the first read. That was the sum total of work that had been going on in some committees for 9 months, 8 months, 6 months. And a lot of that if you take a look at of all the acts and resolutions that have been passed, it's actually been quite a bit of work. I don't think that there's anything that actually hits the floor that hasn't been worked on for months and doesn't have hundreds of hours behind it at the committee or the subcommittee level. So I think that things like that just have a tendency to run in spurts. I think a lot of the things that was in the pipeline that have been being worked on for a really long time, critical pieces for our parallel, all got passed at one time over a period of just a few weeks or a month or so, and the pipeline is being refilled. I yield.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Hafner. C.J., any other comments or questions?
No, yes, I didn't mean to imply that they were hiding anything. It's just that we would like to see what the Senate's voting on as well as the House.
I absolutely agreed. It goes back to measurements of metrics and inspecting what we expect. And as Mark says, then perhaps what it is, it's coming to the level of needing to be addressed now in a timely way. So it sounds like he's going to take it to the pro tem. And perhaps he can come back with a follow-up on a later call.
Thank you. How are you?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I will shoot him an email.
Awesome. Janine, yes.
Yes. You're going to have to mute yourself, Robert, or get us a headset. Our next caller is Shayla, and she's from Oregon.
Good evening, Shayla.
Hi. I just had some concerns. I'm a tribal member. My tribe here in Oregon signed a treaty, I guess, with the de facto government. I'm just wondering how it's going to play out in the long run for my tribe and the reservation and the casino. Does anybody know anything about that?
Which tribe are you with, Shayla?
Grand Ronde. Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, Oregon.
From personal experience, one of the wealthier tribes. From personal experience, one of the wealthier tribes.
Oh, yeah.
They have the biggest attraction in Oregon is the Grand Ronde Casino.
We're kind of in competition with the Chinook Winds nowadays.
Go.
But, I was just wondering how it's going to work. I mean, are the treaties going to be void now since we didn't actually sign with the actual government?
Senator Hafner, do you have any perspective on this? Maybe we should try to find our Secretary of Interior and see if she has some thoughts on this too. Let me hope you guys can hear me while I'm our phone system is having some difficulty tonight. But Shayla, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. Senator Hafner, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to think. I guess I don't know that we can address specific treaty issues with specific countries or with specific parallel issues. There's a treaty committee that is very overworked right now that's looking at all the treaties that are on the books from time past all the way till now, and trying to sort out which ones shouldn't have been made because they were to benefit bankers or some other group of people that is taken for advantage by treaty. One of the things that I think is most critical is during a parallel scenario, we are working, and I would encourage everybody to really pray for a peace compact with the corporation. If there are peace compacts between the Indian nations and the de facto, and we go in parallel, some of the language perhaps in the peace compact with the de facto and the republic is going to be how there's going to be a consideration for the Indian tribes and their peace contacts with the corporation and how that all interfaces with the republic. None of this, to my knowledge, is completely worked out yet. This is what I'm saying. Just this one issue that we're talking about right now, you could throw 50 people at it, full-time research, all in one building, and really put together something authoritative. And here again, this is where the funding we're praying for the funding and praying for the. So I guess I don't think we can answer that specific question tonight. It's a very important specific question. It's very important to your tribe. It's very important to your people. The bigger issue I think is once we have a peace compact with the de facto, once we have the military in a public way telling the de facto, all these things are going to work out during parallel, that's when these issues with specific treaties of other countries and specific treaties of Indian nations are going to be worked out. The research is taking place, but it's just an enormous job. I yield.
You were talking about the Committee for Indian Affairs, was that Native American Indian Affairs or?
Yes, there is a committee for, and there's also a treaty committee, and there's a certain amount of overlap there, because there were treaties entered into during the de jure period with the Republic, and the military and the Indian Nation. So it's just a lot of work.
Well, I'd be interested in getting on any committee that I can to help. I can dedicate 20 to 30 hours a week. I live here in Portland.
Are you a representative, or I'm unfamiliar with what you do.
No, I actually just found out about the Republic just today. So
okay.
I'm going to be
I'm
going to be meeting with the Secretary of State tomorrow for dinner, so I can get signed
okay,
up.
So you're not a representative or a senator, is that correct?
Yes, no.
Okay. Well, then you couldn't actually be on a committee, but you could most certainly be an advisor to the committee. You could be an expert witness. You could develop communication with the chairs of committees and help lend expertise based on your personal knowledge and experience. You could help network. You can't actually be on a committee unless you're actually a part of a legislative
body. Do I have to be voted onto a committee?
No, you have to hold office to be on a committee of Congress.
How do I hold office?
Well, Shayla, firstly, I'd like to say welcome to the Republic.
Okay.
That's the first step, and it sounds like your luncheon tomorrow is going to help you get started in the right direction. There's a lot to learn. We've got a lot of knowledge base on our different websites. There's a lot of recorded calls that you can listen to kind of get up to speed. And then as you grow, you get strong in your state, and you get to a point where you're involved in your local assembly and the local goings on. Am I hearing you correctly? You're in Oregon, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm just really interested in at least working or helping in some way, some capacity.
Right. Absolutely. Well, the producer of our show is Janine Stewart, and she would be more than welcome and able to head you in the right direction of who you could plug into.
Shayla, don't you worry, Shayla. We will have something for you to do. Trust me.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Shayla.
Actually, can I ask one more quick question? I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just wondering, do you guys have any plan in place for seniors or people with disabilities who are collecting Social Security under the de facto right now? Do you know how that's going to transfer over? Or will it transfer over at all?
We're not. Well, I'll let the representatives and the senators respond to that. But understand something, Shayla. The de facto has put many things in place which are not based on the Constitution and are not based on the founding principles of our nation. They've a lot of what the de facto has put into place has made us all become dependent on them rather than interdependent on one another. So, in terms of what happens with the ability of the community to respond to the needs of the disabled, we're a little bit out of whack with it. And I'll let one of the representatives
this
maybe.
Senator Hafner.
Senator Hafner, go ahead. Take the floor.
All right. One of the committees that I'm on is the Budget and Appropriations Committee, which is a joint committee of the House and Senate at the national level. And it's been a lot of work. The emergency appropriation budget for our first 90 days of actually being convened is $9 billion for the first 90 days. And we probably won't spend all that, but that's what's been appropriated so that we won't run out if things really take off and we really begin to escalate. One of the considerations to answer your question and to respond to Mr. Zuloaga's response, which is accurate, is if we, in a very legalistic way, said, okay, if it's not constitutional, it stops today, we would put probably 50 million Americans out of work tomorrow. We are a re-inhabitation back into constitutionality. Many of the things that that go on at the nation level should be funded and taking place at the county level. If we come in with a budget and just chop everything at the national level that's not constitutional. That's a boatload of stuff. All the national jobs that are paid out of the national kitties and all the waste and all the fluff and everything would, of course, be eliminated, but also a lot of families and a lot of let's just take one example that comes to my head, HUD. If you're going to help people with housing, that's probably something that should be done at the county level. But everybody that works for HUD is paid out of the nation deal. So what has to happen is over a period of time, 5 to 7 years during the parallel, is we're going to have to maintain things. One of the things that the Congress is looking at is how do we transition back to a constitutional national government that originally was so small that it was part-time. And then the state governments would be larger than that, but they'd still be way smaller than they are now. And actually, the largest government activity would be at the county level or at the township level. Things are most efficient at the local level, where the people where the services are being provided to have the accountability of the people because it's administrated right there. The people in one county in one state have no accountability over how the money is spent at the national level. So there's a commitment on all the leadership in the Republic that I've ever talked to of doing the least amount of harm and providing a timetable of converting everything back to constitutionality over a period of time so that the people that are on welfare, on Social Security, and on all kinds of things, we are re-inhabiting a bent tree. Okay? And we just can't go in and start breaking limbs off of it. We have to re-inhabit it where it is. They've been messing it around and mutating it for over 100 years. And there's a large number of people in America. You ever heard the old adage, teach a man to fish, feed him for life, give a man a fish, feed him for a day? It has been intentional, like Robert has said. They don't want people to know how to fish. They don't want them to be self-reliant. They want them to be dependent upon giving them a fish. We now have three and fourth generations of people that they have no idea how to fish for themselves. All they know how to do is to reach out and say, where's my fish? And if you get people into that condition, one, they don't even believe that it's possible to fish anymore because their parents didn't know how to fish, so nobody obviously ever can fish. We just wait for the fish to be given to us. These things are going to take a long time to sort out. There's a commitment to take care of everybody as we work back towards constitutionality, and it's going to take years. I yield.
Thank you, Senator Hafner. Thank you, Shayla. You've asked some very excellent questions here for somebody who's new to the Republic. We look forward to your contribution as the days and weeks and months unfold.
Thank you.
Very good. We're going to move on to Bob Barnett. Bob, 970 is your area code. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I've been... Good evening. I've been listening. I thought I might help on a couple of matters. I paid particular attention to the questions regarding treaty. I, in fact, chair the Treaty Studies Committee. Now, that is a subcommittee that was assigned the task of analyzing and determining what's in place to get ready because there are an enormous number of those. I can say to everyone on the phone that our goal is to divide that carefully, and we've tasked ourselves based on the most important to as their immediacy regarding war and peace, trade, humanity, international versus domestic effect. And I have an astoundingly intelligent group of members of Senate on that committee that have dug into that. Senator Hafner basically said it correctly. This is a long-term process with the adjustment first into parallel, then officially into parallel, then through the process of reduction and reorganization. And there's only a percentage of that that we have the authority to do as a re-inhabiting interim servants, because for us is not as much to create as to assume and reorganize constitutionally what's in the basket right now. So I wanted to say that the American Indian treaties are an extremely important part of this, because they are, so to speak, the domestic part of it, because although they're separate nations, they're on the same land mass that the Republic has designated, re-inhabited. So they have a very special place. And within this committee are subsets of study, and we will be dealing with all these matters. And it is going to consume time, but it is very important to understand that constitutionally, I can tell you we've only found that by the dictate of Constitution, less than 6% of the treaties ever written are even constitutional, because they've not been done under the requirement for Senate, two-thirds of the members present, to approve them. So they've not been ratified as required by the Constitution. So it'll give you an idea of the bundle. There's a couple other things I'd like to address, because I have firsthand knowledge.
Please go ahead. And are you a representative or are you a senator, Bob?
Regarding
activities
on new legislation. And I thought I'd speak to that briefly, because we've been consumed for the entire time since we left Utah in standing up the grid, if you will, in the various states, enabling things that we re-inhabited. Another committee that I happen to have dealt with was that a subcommittee, ad hoc subcommittee joint, to determine how that re-inhabitation would be organized. And what we really have here is not about new legislation. We simply aren't in a position to address new legislation, brand new things, because the demand on us is to complete the very re-inhabitation that we've set out as the ultimate goal to accomplish our freedom. Now, we already are. We are a nation. The issue is to conduct the nation peacefully, lawfully, and in parallel so its citizens aren't split. The split, the natural split, are the fact that in de facto corporation, the United States, the citizens, as we know, are slaves. We have no intention to rejoin that. So that's why we call it parallel. It's very important for us to realize, because everyone's antsy to have everything reorganized, go revisit the past, make it perfect. That's not our charge. Our charge is not to go back in time and reorganize what already is. Our task, rather, is to make what is in the time we re-inhabited the reality we can build from when we can elect our permanent replacement. And that we can do when we all do what was mentioned earlier. Our primary job is to go find the very best intentioned, very best active potential people and bring them to our fold, because we need more numbers. We can't even replace ourselves interim with the reality of permanent until we get more people. And that should be every single person, every single day, first task, more people. More people that want to be, work, participate, all the above. And I just wanted to speak to those specific areas because it's very frustrating, I know, for everyone, because I'm very active in my own state, Colorado. As a Senate for Colorado, and I hear from the people what they want and care about what they want, and a lot of them want to reorganize and do new things, and I understand that passion. But the very first thing we have to do when we talk about remedy over and over and over again on every call I ever hear, the only real remedy is for us to take our place and operate it constitutionally, and we will have all of those remedies. If we could take the 80% of energy that goes into remedy every day and put just half of that into recruiting and completing, we will have all the remedies, because all of the remedies we have already taken back. And when we put numbers with funds, with enforcement, we all have what we are after. I yield.
Thank you, Senator Barnett. We are running into two hours and 12 minutes. We want to be mindful of our time, of those of you who are on the call. So we have a few more questions in the queue. Let's keep our comments as brief as we can. Our next up is Joseph out of Virginia. Good evening, Joseph.
Yeah, I'm Joseph Orlando. I serve as Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Virginia. And I would like to know how individual congressmen communicate with their constituency, as Robert calls them, the lay people, so non-office holders, what access do they have to their congressmen, and what efforts do congressmen make to communicate with them? And then I have a follow-up question.
Very good, Joseph. I'd like to bring Representative Coleman on the line because that's something close to his heart. Are you still with us, Pastor Coleman?
Yes, I'm on. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Yes, that's a very good question, and I appreciate that question. I can speak for myself and for the representatives here in Arizona. We have our own state website, and all of our contact information is on that state website. But also, in our assemblies, we try to, at every assembly meeting lately, we try to give updates with what we are dealing with, both at the national level and at the state level. So we give congressional updates at our assembly meetings, and I would encourage all the assembly meetings to allot some time so they can hear back. And the reason I think this is a really good question is because we want feedback from the people. But what I see a problem as right now that it's going to take some time for people to get over is the fact that they're not used to doing that because they're used to de facto people that don't respond and send form letters back. You know, I used to write my congressman, and I quit doing that because I was getting these form letters back that wouldn't even address my concerns. They would just thank me for writing and so forth. So we have to break that mold, and the people have to get out of their rut, and they've got to realize we've got some people that are them that are now de jure representatives. And so people need to be proactive and contact their representatives and senators. Call them up, email them. So I try to be as accessible as possible. I think I'm very accessible to people if they'll take the time to call or email. So, in fact, almost every time I respond to someone by email, they always respond back and say, thank you for responding so quickly. So they're not used to that. So, and that's what I see. So I think that's a very good question. I appreciate you asking it, and it's twofold. The representatives have to make themselves available and their contact information, and assemblies ought to allow time for their representatives to give updates and talk about issues. And then also people need to be proactive in contacting their representatives and senators. And I hope that answers your question, at least from Arizona does. I don't know how your state's doing that, but I hope that if they're not doing those things, you can encourage them to do that. Does that help you any?
I do have a follow-up question in that I've brought maybe 10 or 15 people into the Republic, and I'm constantly getting calls saying they've never received any information on how they would communicate with their representatives. So if they're not receiving information as far as website, it seems like they join and then they're just left in the cold. There's no follow-up email to them saying, here are the websites, here's where you can find out who your representative is. So how does the lay people, the constituency, even know the process of contacting the representative?
This is Senator Hafner.
Go ahead, Senator Hafner.
Can I ask the gentleman who's speaking what state he's in?
Virginia.
Okay. Do you know the total number of people in Virginia that make up the national and state government by any chance? Do you have any idea what the total number of people that are in the Republic?
I believe it's about 128.
Okay. So if it's 128, let's use the 80-20 rule. And let's say that then you then have probably about 25 people that are actively doing something, and the rest are sitting by their computers waiting for whatever happens next. How many, Mr. Zuluaga, how many people are in Arizona Republic, you know, in Arizona, if you had to guess?
Oh, I'd say 500 plus.
500 plus, okay. A lot of the things that I hear that we run into with your comments are, is there are some states, some free states, that have as little as under 50 people. Their capacity to hold the state government together, some states are blessed with having a few key people that have been able to financially be full-time at the state level or full-time at the national level within a state. There are other states where they don't have anybody who has the capacity to work on this stuff full-time. This is what I was talking about earlier, the mess of reality versus the perfection of theory. Some states, like Arizona, that has a large number of people, I mean, their Brad, who works their web pages and creates videos, I mean, is light years ahead of the video departments of other states. There's a diversification of gifts from state to state. There's a tremendous divergence in the number of people that are full-time or part-time. It isn't that, I don't think there's any intentionality on any state to not be available. I don't believe that, because I talk to leaders all over the country.
What I don't there believe is
right
either.
Now. Right. What there is right now is, I'll just give you an example. The Speaker of the House and the pro tem have to look at everything that's going on from within their bodies and look at everything that they're hearing from the executive branch or the judicial branch and all the dialogue with other entities that we're trying to interface with, and they have to come up with an agenda every week. Many good things get tabled that they'd like to deal with because they have to deal with things that are of a greater importance. The same thing happens at the state level. I would maintain that the Speaker of the Houses at the state level and the pro tems at the state levels would like to address a lot of issues as far as a lot of the things that you've brought up with and like earlier the Senate vote. You know, the problem is that as we're going forward with this thing, in the last 9 months, things aren't going slower. They're going faster. And I think that potentially, if God gives us the victory that we've all been working for the last few years, things are going to go even quicker. A lot of these things, I think we just have to chalk them up to the fact that the priorities of holding the state governments together, the priorities of recruiting, the priorities of training the people that are here, the priorities of trying to find people that will help us that are close enough to us that we can work together face to face. The priorities of like Mr. Barnett said, actually getting up to a state of parallel. We're working very hard to get up to a state of parallel. When funding comes through, many states are not ready to receive funding. I mean, they're ready in theory, but in practicality, they're still struggling with a lot of pieces. So every state, the legislation, has to work on the priorities of the things that they've got to get done. If things are coming down the pike, we have to be ready for those things. And then a lot of these other things that like you just mentioned, they're wonderful things. It's just tough to get it all done. We just don't have the help. We don't have the technology. I mean, if you look at General Washington's army by the time we won the war, they were beat up pretty bad, okay? And I think that's kind of where we are right here. I think there really is a parallel. Even though we're a peaceful re-inhabitation, there's a lot of people paying a big price to hold this all together, and we just can't get it all done right now. I yield.
All right, so Joseph, go ahead, Joseph.
Well, I think that this is a very basic issue. If Congress, if individual congressmen are not communicating with their constituency, who are they representing?
That's exactly right, Joseph. But I think that Mark's taken it with the big brush. I'm going to refer you back to your state. This is a matter that is important for the representatives of your state to be talking with you. So if you have 128, did I hear you say? 128 members. The
right.
Of those, you have a certain number who are elected. You're an elected position, or are you appointed? Are you an appointed position?
Appointed position.
You're appointed position. Well, how often do you gather in your assemblies for a meeting?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday. Who creates the agenda?
Oh, and Sunday.
Oh, okay. Thursday and Sunday. Who creates the agenda for those assembly meetings?
Well, as a matter of fact, Michael Reagan usually creates the agenda for our Sunday calls, and Speaker of the House, Art Engel, sets the agenda for the Congress call.
Well, that's where you should place your focus. And second to that, once you have an elected official, those elected officials should not be running your assembly meeting. You should have a moderator, and you should have the people running your assembly meetings. They could invite your elected representatives to report, but if you're having your elected officials drive your agenda for your meeting, listen. Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
If you want to understand how the healthy process goes from the people up to the representatives, you have to understand that the people drive the bus, and that process starts at the assembly. So get together at your next assembly. I would just suggest, we notice our state has a larger number than yours, and we have found the process as you get these pieces moving, those problems go away. Representative Coleman, who's on this call, has been very instrumental in bringing to the people exactly what you're desiring. And he's one of our representatives, and we're so grateful that he's got the heart of a teacher, he's got the heart of a servant, and he's invited to come and share with our assembly what his findings are and what's happening on a national level. And it's a great blessing to us. So I just encourage you to duplicate that model in your state.
Was his email address T as in Peter Coleman?
No, T as in Tim.
Okay.
T.Coleman@RepublicCongress. And Pastor Coleman, you are on the line. I'll give you one sum up. I'll give you 30 seconds for a sum up because we do need to move on. We're way long with this call, and we've got a lot of people in the queue. And Janine, I'm going to insist that you start the bell. Go ahead, Pastor Coleman. All right, Pastor Coleman seems to have dropped off. Thank you, Joseph. I'm going to move on if it's all right. Does that give you enough to work on? Okay, our next caller is out of Minnesota. Good evening. You have the floor. 612-272. You have to press unmute because I can't hear you. Minnesota, 612-272. Going once. Going twice. Let's put them on the next caller, Janine, and we'll come back to them. Shayla, again, out of Oregon.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that you already touched on the treaty issue, but I'm really pretty concerned about that and about how that's just going to work out because my tribe really fought for almost 100 years to get their status of sovereign nation, and once they find out that whole thing is fake, I assume they're probably going to be pretty upset, along with myself. And I just think that maybe somebody should consider maybe going into a new treaty with them, because the whole entire Portland metro area was our sovereign land. That was, I mean, our ceded land. And so in reality, this entire land was stolen from my ancestors. And we were herded over to Grand Ronde like cattle, and said that we had to live there. And they took away, the beliefs and language and the culture and everything. And I just think that going backwards in time, back to that status, is just not going to be good for anyone. So I just want to let that be known. Thanks.
Thanks, Shayla. Appreciate your comments. Our next caller is out of area code 702, Representative Gardner. Good evening, sir.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today. I just wanted to say I've learned a whole lot of stuff on today's call. Some of the suggestions about having the moderator be the people running the assembly, and some other suggestions I thought was pretty good. So, and also, you guys have convinced me I need to get a staff member to help me.
You can put out your email like everyone else.
Yeah, I have to start looking for a staff person. I also want to just commend Representative Michael Reagan for all of the work he does. He is extremely organized and efficient, has the best attitude that I know of in the Republic Congress. I'm still trying to learn from him on, some of his ways of thinking. And I also want to mention that as the former Gambus founder and chairman, I have resigned as the chairman of Gambus in order to allow the People's Think Tank to develop as a pure people's think tank. I'm hoping to have a meeting in the Transportation Infrastructure Committee in Congress to bring in Gambus as an advisory group, and also have Mr. Reagan and Mr. Lounsbury, and I'm going to invite you also, Robert, and some others to talk about the IT infrastructure that we're building in the Republic. So, anyhow, that's the news and my comments, and I guess I don't have anything else. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Gardner. Cool. I'll watch to see how that develops. Yeah, letting the people speak and letting the people organize and expressing that voice is what the Republic is about. Okay, Janine, do we want to try Minnesota again? Minnesota 612-272, you have the floor. We cannot hear you. All right, Janine, it looks like we're not going to get anywhere on that call. So let's go to Ernestine Trude out of area code 870. Good evening.
Good evening, Robert.
Good evening.
I'm the Chief Justice.
You're a Chief Justice out of where?
Arkansas.
Out of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hi. I'm also a full-blooded boy, as well as my mother, and our ancestry goes way back. So in regard to what Sheila was saying in Oregon, yeah, I understand her concerns quite well. And here in Arkansas, my mother is the first Americans commissioner. We titled that because we feel that is more better than saying our First Nations. There's different nations in the Native community. So we called it First Americans commissioner, and she's the head of that. And what we wanted to do was, my question was for Senator Hargreaves. I heard him speak, and he said he's the chairman for Foreign Affairs and Indian Affairs. I didn't get his email. Maybe I can get that later on here if he would mind giving that to me. I got some of it, but I didn't get it all. And I just had a thought, too, though, that was I don't like that term, Indian Affairs, and neither did Sheila from her call. So maybe we could call it maybe Foreign Affairs and Native American Affairs, or First American Affairs.
Good comment.
That was Senator Hargreaves, and maybe my mother could go ahead and discuss.
Certainly, Representative Hargreaves, do you want to make a comment into that? I knew we were having challenges with your phone, so if you can hear us, you need to unmute your line.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
First, I'll give him again my address. It's w.hargraves@republiccongress.org. And the second point about the change in the name of the committee, I would actually be much in favor of calling changing the name of the committee to Native American Affairs. And I think we need to discuss that with the people who originally gave us that name. And I yield.
Very good. Go ahead.
Hargraves. My mother was just saying, how about maybe even just calling it First Americans.
All right, I'll make note of that also. That's a good suggestion.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'd like to give you our email so we can correspond.
All right.
Okay, it's Flowing River 69 @centurytel.net.
At CenturyTel. CenturyTel.
CenturyTel.
Dot net.
100 years.
Yes.
Dot net.
I've got it. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, great. I look forward to your correspondence.
Thank you. Me too.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Governor Dan Owens out of area code 317. Which state is that, Dan?
Indiana. Thank you.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
I'm blessed.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Actually, I just would like to echo the sentiments that Senator Hafner spoke of as far as, you know, we're here in Indiana, I think we have around 40 members. The 80-20 rule is definitely the rule of the day. So things come at times difficult, and there are just a few of us working on things. So, you know, if folks can be patient, that's great. And yet we have just been trying to implement in our state that our folks here, our representatives, post a report each week on the website that's just getting implemented. You know, there are things that we are trying to do. And you know, the comments that he probably, the gentleman from I believe it was Virginia, probably needs to work with his folks within the state there. And I don't know what his involvement is, but I would encourage him to get involved. That's an area it sounds like they could use some assistance. Get involved.
Very good. Thank you very much. Did you have any question you want to pose? That's it.
That's it.
That works. All right. Well, may your numbers grow and multiply like the seed of Abraham.
We'll take it.
All right. Our last caller in the queue is Deborah Waring out of area code 540. You have the floor, Deborah. What state are you calling from?
Good evening. I'm calling from Virginia. I'm the Secretary of Records, State Admin. And my question is, it says to ask Janine. I received an email from a woman named Brenda Owens, and the reason why one of the reps had asked me to bring this up is in case other states had received this as well. And it was a woman who said that the website for Indiana Republic was incorrect, and she was making us aware that it was Indiana freestateinfo.org, and to connect with Janine that she would verify this is true, that Brenda K. Owens is writing this email. And I just wanted to know, is this the correct information?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I just wanted to verify in case others get, and they don't know either, so we thought we would ask on the call tonight.
Thank you. Yes, Brenda is the records admin for Indiana and the wife of the governor who was just on the call with us, Dan Owen.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, but I just went to verify.
That's okay.
That.
Thank you for making sure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and I yield. God bless you.
God bless.
Well, thank you all. I'd like to give our guests an opportunity to make a sum-up comment here. You have a minute for a sum-up. Michael Reagan, I'd like to start with you. So if you have anything you'd like to close, any closing comments?
Can you hear me okay, Robert?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir. What I would tell everyone on the call specifically is just do their due diligence and hold the House, I can't speak for the Senate, but hold the House accountable for their votes. Look at how they're voting and make sure that they're voting what they're supposed to be. And hopefully the absentee votes that we have in Congress will go down since our last session discussed that quite at length. So I would just say use that Republic Congress Resource Center to your advantage in your assemblies and keep an eye on Congress and make sure we're doing what you want us to do. And I yield, sir.
Thank you, Representative Reagan. Thank you for all your hard work. Senator Hafner.
Yeah, my email address is m.hafner, H-A-F-N-E-R, at republiccongress.org. If anybody needs to communicate with me, they're more than welcome to. I guess the closing comment I'd like to make is that the amount of prayer that your leaders need shouldn't be underestimated. I spoke with someone at the national level today that I hadn't spoke to in a while, and I said, what can I pray for you for? And his response to me was wisdom. And I said, okay. He said, the amount of decisions, the amount of questions, the amount of different issues, the exhaustive amount of research and reading and the time constraints and the deadlines. If I don't have wisdom, it's just overwhelming. I would implore everybody who's on this call to really pray for wisdom for their leaders, for them to have the capacity to prioritize, for them to have insight from the Creator, to know in their gut what they need to do each day, for the Lord to pull people alongside of them to help them where they're overworked, to give them real insight to do the right thing in areas where maybe they would like a month to work on it, and they've got to make the decision in 2 or 3 days. Pray for the leaders, pray for their health, pray for their finances, pray for their families, pray for them for wisdom. Most all of the leaders that I've met around the country as I've traveled and done my workings on committees and things are passionate about doing this right. They're passionate about doing it in a way that's honoring and pleasing to God. And many of them are just in tremendous exhaustion and financial depletion. And understand there's a difference between the perfection of theory and the mess of reality. There's no roadmap for re-inhabiting a country after it's been off track for over 100 years. I believe that everybody is doing the best they can and working to the maximum of their capacity, and they need prayers and they need support. And with that, I say good night.
Thank you, Senator Hafner. Cindy Hull, are you still on the line?
I am still on the line.
Oh, you have any closing comments and closing?
Well, just since we've been talking, there's already been quite a bit of activity and different people getting involved, and the more of it, the better. You guys are just as capable of sharing the information as any of us are, and this makes it easy. So I'm excited to have people helping.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Representative Hargraves.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I really am so pleased with the opportunity I had to share with you some of our thoughts and to have others share their opinions and feelings, especially those who have been newly identified as being Native Americans or First Americans, who can join with us and enhance our work. My personal focus and the focus of my committee is going to be to return the dignity, hope, respect, equality, opportunity, and of course freedom to the people who were on the land before we were, so that we can live peacefully for the next 250 years and beyond in harmony. And I thank you again, Robert, for having me on tonight. I yield.
You're most welcome, sir. And yes, I think it's very exciting that we have Native Americans who are hearing the call of the Republic and the hope that it offers for them and their people. It's just way exciting. Very, very exciting to me. Pastor Coleman, our last guest on the call here.
Yes, thank you, Robert. And I appreciate all the work that you do. There's probably not enough said about that and hosting these calls week after week. And you're another one of the unsung heroes of the Republic. And I thought that needed to be said. I would just like to say this. A lot of times we forget that under the Constitution, or not under the Constitution, on top of the Constitution is we the people. We're the ones that ordained that. And so, yes, pray for our public servants, but we need to pray, all of us need to pray for God to give each of us wisdom. Because if we just pray for leaders or our servants to have wisdom, their bosses need to have wisdom too. And so we all need to seek God. And just a reminder that I've done lots of study in the recent years on God delivering Israel from many circumstances. And one thing always sticks out. They cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. So we the people must cry unto the Lord, pray for wisdom, pray for our servants, and hold their feet to the fire. We need to trust them. There's a lot of people who don't trust their public servants. And in this time and age, there's a very great phrase that President Reagan said that we need to implement: trust, but verify. And we got to turn this bottom up as much as possible, maintain it that way. So pray for your public servants, but pray for wisdom yourself. Because if the people don't do right, their servants can't. And Robert, I don't know if you'll have time for this, but I want to make this real quick thing, point out this too, and that is that regarding the request from Virginia, one of the things as far as helping grow and communicate, I don't know if you want to take time for this or not, but I think it's been great that here in Arizona we had the ambassador program was shut down nationally. We maintained it within the state. And that's just that you might, if you feel led to enhance on that, I thought I'd mention that. But thank you for the time, and thank you all you people out there doing great work. Let's get out and recruit, and let's pray for God's blessing and help. Thank you.
Well, Representative Coleman, I would like you to put on your other hat, if you would, to close us out in a word of prayer.
I'll gladly do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the liberty that comes from you. You are the author of liberty, And your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you called a people out of Egypt, you proclaimed unto them liberty. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to proclaim to the people that are under the heel of this illegitimate corporate government that has sprung up or grown and created fraud against us all. I pray that you'd help us as we proclaim liberty from person to person, and that we'll all realize that liberty also requires responsibility. So I pray that you'd give all of us a hunger and thirst for liberty. May we really feel deep and mean it, to where we're all saying and all shouting, give me liberty or give me death. And may we work as if that liberty must be attained by us by our labor and by our reliance on you. So, Lord, we need your help. We need your mercy for sure. We have forsaken many things that you've given us. We've not respected the gifts that you've given us. We've let them be taken from us. We've not held them tight. I pray that you'd help us to reclaim that which you've given us, but give us wisdom. We need wisdom from the newest person to here, even to people right now that are involved in tea parties, that are involved in the illegitimate corporate political system that we call de facto. Even those people, wake them up even now, Lord, more and more, and so that when they hear of us, they will immediately see that's the answer and join us and get busy. So, Lord, we need so much help, and we ask for it, we beg of it, and I believe, Lord, that this would be advantageous for you to bless us, because I believe that this republic is going to help restore the liberty that the gospel needs to be put back into the homes all over the country and around the world. Your word has been attacked by this de facto government, the world elitist globalist, and the gospel has been they tried to put a muzzle on it. And so, Lord, we just pray. We ask that you'd help us so that you'll receive a great reward and fruit from this vast vineyard. So we ask your blessing upon all those that are laboring now, and you ask your blessing on those of us who have opportunity to recruit, and we ask your blessing on those who are newly coming in. Bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. And in his name I ask it. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for being with us on the call this evening. I hope it was of value to you. We, too, are looking for assessing metrics. So your feedback, we welcome your comments, your critiques, and your participation. So I want to, Janine, before you put a song on here, I just have an Indian song that I learned a long time ago. So for those of you who are our first Americans, maybe you can tell me what this origination of this is. So I'm going to just sing a few lines of it here as we close out. Ooh, itchy chaya. Ooh, I, oh. Ooh, itchy chaya. Ooh, I, oh. May we be one with the infinite sun. Ooh, itchy chaya. I want to fly round the universe on wings of pure love. Ooh, itchy chaya. Ooh, your response to questions at republicfortheunitedstates.org. Good night, everyone, and God bless. God.
the prayer.